Welcome back to Talking Baseball on a beautiful Saturday, as we have an afternoon game here with the Padres against the Giants. And who do I want to talk about pitching? I'm going to go to Bob Scanlon. He's the field reporter. He also played with six different teams in the major leagues, had 17 saves. Let's bring on Bob today. How are you doing today, Bob?
Bill, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. You can also read Bob at Hey Scan on Twitter, and he writes a lot of stuff during the games and posts some things on the Padres. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Padres pitching staff. And, of course, they are just doing outstanding in the bullpen. But let's dive into the starter today, Joe Musgrove. And I tell you what, last week they matched up, Kevin Gausman and him. They went head-to-head. Of course, the three-run home run by Talkman just kind of opened the game up. Let's talk a little bit about Joe, and what can you say about him and how well he's pitched so far this year?
Well, Joe's been a great story for the Padres. Obviously, there was a lot of anticipation and excitement about bringing him back to San Diego, a San Diego kid. Everybody knew that he'd grown up here and wanted to rejoin the organization. So when the Padres were able to acquire him this offseason, yeah, there was a lot of talk, obviously, about Yu Darvish and Blake Snell. But I think a lot of people understood what Joe Musgrove had done in Pittsburgh the last season, some of the changes that he'd made, and really saw a player that was on the cusp of breaking out, not only because of, as I just mentioned, the adjustments that he'd made, but also getting a fresh start and coming back to San Diego, his hometown. And it's worked out beautifully. As you know, he had the no-hitter, which was so poetic in terms of him being the one to finally break the streak that the Padres had. And for a hometown kid to be able to do that, wearing number 44 on his back for Jake Peavy, his favorite Padre player growing up. And it was really a magical moment. And he's throwing the ball extremely well. His last outing didn't go quite as well as his previous ones. And it was interesting, Bill, because afterwards he mentioned, well, I was kind of tinkering with a few things right before my start, and I wanted to try them in game, some mechanical things that he had felt while he was playing catch, and it just didn't connect with him in the game the way it had playing catch. So it's such a great reminder, isn't it, that even after a guy has thrown a no-hitter, pitchers are always trying to make themselves better, you know.
Adjustments I'm constantly, Bob. The pitchers are always constantly adjusting to something—a different grip, a different movement.
Yep.
Just being creative on the mound. One of the things I notice about Joe—he just really rips up right-hand hitters. He's only given up 4 hits and 39 at bats. Lefties just constantly go from 1 through 9, loading up the left-hand side. What makes him so strong against right-handed hitters?
Well, one of the things that he adjusted at the start of Pittsburgh, and he continued it here when he got to San Diego, was the increased use of his breaking pitches. Now, in Pittsburgh, it was more a reduction of the fastball and an increased usage in the curveball. But this year, it's been a much more increased use in the cutter and the slider. So we see even fewer four-seam fastballs, but we're seeing more cutters. And he has great command of that pitch. He can put it on both sides of the plate. For the righties, he can go away and get off the barrel of the bat and hit it off the end. For the lefties, he can come in on their hands or backdoor it. But the other thing has been the use of that slider, which has just been a devastating pitch for him. So it's really that combination of picking when to choose the fastball to show it to him, using the cutter to complement that, and then following guys up and putting them away with that slider. That's really been the secret recipe and the biggest change that he's made this year. And to his credit, he really has 5 pitches that he can put guys away with. The 4-seam fastball, the 2-seam fastball, the cutter, the slider, and the curveball, all in their own right are great pitches that he can use to finish guys. And he's starting to find the right combinations to use them in.
Well, the offense has been inconsistent, but the pitching has been consistent. The bullpen's been lights out. The starting staff is starting to do a little bit better each start out. But it all starts with the pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, a veteran pitching coach. He spent 9 years with the Cubs, 8 years with the Yankees. As soon as the Yankees let him go, A.J. Preller says, he's my guy. Some of the things that I notice with him, he always suggests adjustments, and we talk about that about Joe, but he's the guy that picks it up. He doesn't need analytics. He's an old-time, old-school pitching coach. Your thoughts on Larry Rothschild?
Yeah, I think you summed it up right there, Bill. He's a great combination of understanding the importance and value in some of the analytics that are being used today. I mean, everybody's using them, and it's just a question of in what fashion. But to your point, he also understands, okay, how do we take those numbers and actually functionally apply them to this particular pitcher, to his pitch repertoire, so that he can be more successful on the mound. And I think sometimes that's the missing ingredient. There's anybody that can look at a Rapsodo reading or, you know, the spin rate and say, well, let's try this, let's do that. But it's really how do you match it to that player? How do you match it to his psyche? How do you match it to his stuff? And I think he's been the master at that. And I give him a lot of credit because when he first came over, obviously he has the reputation and anybody's going to listen immediately to anything that he has to say. But he doesn't come in and just start making random changes. I thought he was very patient with guys in terms of understanding what they were trying to do, what their comfort zones were, and then slowly over time, after building the relationships, then you start making recommendations on how to move forward with things. So I think he's been a great addition to this pitching staff, and guys seem to really enjoy working with him, and we see the results.
You know, a couple of things that I've noticed over the last few years, and maybe you can get your ideas of it, is relief pitchers only going one inning. Yesterday, I mean, Stamen threw the ball so well, he only goes an inning. And this is what puzzles me when these guys only throw 9, 10, 11 pitches in one inning, and then, boom, next guy's in. Your ideas of why this isn't pushing guys into 2 or 3 innings like it used to be.
I think some of it, Bill, has to go back to the conversation that we're all having about whatever happened to the starting pitcher that could go 7 innings in the ballgame, right?
That's true. That's the first point.
The reason I go there with it is because what we're seeing here with the Padres, because of some injuries that we've had and some other issues that have cropped up with the starting rotation, we've had to ask a lot of this bullpen. It has the most appearances. It has the most innings pitched in all of Major League Baseball. And I give credit to Jace Tingler for how he has handled this pen. And part of the strategy has been, when he can, not to try to ask of multiple innings of guys in an effort to try to be able to share the load so that one guy isn't getting overburdened too much here in the early part of the season. Now, there have been a couple of instances where he's had to ask for multiple innings. Craig Stammen, for example, has gone 3-plus innings multiple times this year. Nabil Krismat has done the same thing. So there have been games where we've got to cover 8 innings where we have asked guys to extend themselves. But in general, I think what organizations are doing is they're realizing, look, instead of covering the last 3 innings of the game, and we can ask a guy to pitch to get to our closer, knowing that the next day we've got another starter that's going to be able to get us into the 7th, and we can then give the guy that pitched 2 or 3 innings a day off. Those days off don't exist anymore because you don't have a guy in your rotation that you know, or 2 or 3 guys the way it used to be, is going to get you into the 6th or 7th and give a rest to your pen. These pens nowadays are basically under the understanding that we're going to get used every day. We're going to have to cover probably 3 to 5 innings. And the best way to do that is to try to not overload guys with big pitch counts night after night after night. So I think that has something to do with the strategy, along with the analytics of, look, let's just bring a guy in, let him throw as hard as he can for one inning, and then bring in the next arm. That's certainly a philosophy that's going around the league as well.
Well, touching on that bullpen for our final points here, when the Padres get the lead, they go to 3 guys that have been lights out: Tim Hill, Pomeranz, and Melanson. Now, we've seen Pomeranz and Melanson in a Giants uniform, but they didn't pitch like this. They've been lights out, especially with Melanson having 11 straight saves, and he has just been unbelievable with the knuckle curveball and the cutter. Tell me your final thoughts about these 3 guys.
Well, I'll take him in the order that we normally see him in the game. We'll start with Tim Hill. We brought him on last year. Funky kid, right? And a great story. He's overcome cancer, sort of a late bloomer in his baseball career. But from where he throws and that low arm angle, very, very difficult. And to his credit, coming from the left side, being a side armer, it could be easy for right-hand batters to pick up the ball, but he has really learned how to pitch effectively against right-handers this year as well. He rises that fastball up in the zone, has a very nice slider to complement it with, and he has really been our go-to guy. He's gotten the Padres out of some big jams this year. I think probably 6 out of his last 8 appearances, he's come with either 2 runners on or bases loaded and has been able to get out of those jams. So Jace Tingler has a lot of confidence in him now, late in the ball games, especially with guys on base, to either get the strikeout or the ground ball from that arm slot. Drew Pomeranz joined us last year. We saw him 4 or 5 years ago as a starter before we traded him away. He came back as a reliever last year, did not allow a single run until his very final outing of the season. That's how dominant he was. And he's been the same guy this year. Just gets lefties out, gets righties out, has been a great setup man. Can close if we need him to, but we haven't needed to. Why? Because of, as you mentioned, Mark Melanson, the shark, who It's really strange because it's unfortunate that Giants fans did not get a chance to see and enjoy what he's capable of doing. And it completely had to do with the physical ailment that he had, with that very strange condition of the sheathing around the muscle in his arm, tightening up, restricting the blood flow in the muscle. They actually had to do a surgery to go in and loosen that up. And it's taken him a couple of years to get healthy again. And talking to Mark, he said, yeah, finally last year, after everything I'd been through to get the arm healthy, I felt right again. And kind of under the radar, he posted 22 saves out of 24 opportunities for the Braves over the last year and a half. And the Padres saw that. They had a need. Trevor Rosenthal was a free agent. We brought in Mark Melancon. And I think the Padres hope all along was that it was going to be Mark to take control of that closing position since he had the most experience. And he has been literally perfect so far, 10 for 10 in those save opportunities. It's not been scary at all either. He is just calm. He's cool. He's collected. He gets the job done, not overpowering, but he's using that cutter, using the breaking ball to get guys out. And he's been a great presence, a calming presence for this bullpen, and doing a great job at the back end. So he's been a real important addition, Bill.
Bob, great stuff as usual. Thanks again for joining us on Talking Baseball. You have a great day, and we'll be talking as the season progresses.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Yep, that was Bob Scanlon. He's a sideline reporter for the San Diego Padres, talking a little baseball this morning on Talking Baseball. And we're going to be right back on 104.5 680 KNBR, the sports leader.